Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, glad to be back with you. My thanks to Lee Kelly yesterday for filling in. Welcome into a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report presented by CC Power Sports. Glad to have you with us, and it's game day again for the Hoosiers. That's the best thing about the college basketball season. We wait, we wait, we wait, and when it finally gets here, it comes at you fast and furious. Indiana tonight, 9:30 Eastern time on ESPN2, and of course Don Fisher has the radio call, which we'll have right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Interesting game tonight. This Connecticut team, this UConn team, very, very balanced team, very well-rounded team, and we'll talk a little bit about this game, obviously, in the hour today and get you ready for tonight's contest. But the way I see it, it's a big challenge for Indiana. They come off a great win earlier last week against Florida State. I think everybody was feeling pretty good about what happened, how it looked, how Devontae Green played, the defensive side of the ball. You had to feel pretty good about things. I mean, heck, even the opposing coach is very much complimenting the performance and bragging on how good the team is, calling them an NCAA tournament team, a top 25 team. I think there was plenty of reason to be excited, and still is, about this team and their potential moving forward. But I'm not sure anyone thought that a performance would follow in the Kohl Center as it did on Saturday at Wisconsin, where Indiana found itself, was it down as much as, what, 31 points for a brief moment, for a little bit of time, and just not overall a good performance at all. In fact, a very bad performance in many regards for the team. I would have had no problem with a big Florida State victory, 30 points from Devontae Green, followed by a loss at Wisconsin, even though it was a 4-4 Wisconsin team heading into the game. It's just a tough place to play. The team's first road game at all is a Big Ten game in a tough Kohl Center facility for the team after playing all their games in the comfort of Assembly Hall in November, and of course that Florida State game last week as well. But would have had no problems with a loss there, a close loss, but to get manhandled at times as Indiana did. Not very physical. Joey Brunk, very concerning there in his defensive effort in the game and how I thought he got manhandled. Let's see if Indiana can bounce back. I think it's another tough one tonight for Indiana. I think the latest I saw, Indiana, a 2.5-point favorite in the game tonight. Of course, it's Indiana's first neutral site game. UConn has played in one of those Thanksgiving time tournaments, so they've already played some neutral site games. But will be interesting to see how this Indiana team bounces back. I preach consistency when I think about this team, and I'm just one person with one view, but consistency from players, whether you're playing a mid-major team or a high-major opponent like UConn or Florida State or a Big Ten team, there needs to be some level. It doesn't have to be, you know, the exact same points and output every game, but there needs to be some level of consistency with this IU team, and I think that that's what we'll see tonight, is what is going to be consistent for this team. And so a big one tonight against Connecticut, a fun one tonight against Connecticut. I can only imagine being a player and getting to participate in an event that's played at Madison Square Garden in the heart of New York City, and of course the Jimmy V Classic, a special person in college basketball's history and the coaching ranks and what that event stands for and what that event raises money for. So all the way around, a fun night tonight, and we'll get to learn, I think, a lot more about this Indiana team. We learned something on the good side against Florida State. We learned a little more about maybe the negatives of this team against Wisconsin, and let's see if it can balance out tonight and we can get a better read for this Indiana team moving forward in the month of December. Welcome into the show. Let's take a look at our show lineup today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Zaxby's headlines. We're going to talk IU Connecticut tonight. We're going to talk what today's anniversary is. If you're a real IU fan, I think you probably already know. Also, a Romeo Langford update, and will he be at what's being billed as New Albany night at the Pacers game tomorrow when Boston Celtics and Romeo Langford either come or don't come to town to join the Celtics for their game at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. We'll talk all that and a quick note about IU women's basketball as well coming up here in the first segment. Later in the show, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star scheduled to join me as always on Tuesdays, presented by Coffee Crossing. We'll get Greg's thoughts on IU basketball. We'll get Greg's thoughts on the IU Connecticut game tonight at Madison Square Garden. And we'll talk IU football and the bowl placement for this Hoosier football team as well with Greg when he joins us a little bit later in the hour. And then segment three today, as always, on Tuesdays, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com will join us. We'll talk more about the IU Connecticut game, probably get some into some IU football stuff. May touch on some recruiting as well with Mike and some of the early high school season performances of some of the big IU targets out there. And Mike will join us. He's landed. He is in New York City for the game tonight. And so he will join us from there a little bit later in the program today. That's the show lineup brought to you by Honey Baked Ham each day. Don't forget, with the hustle and bustle of the upcoming Christmas holiday, don't forget to order your Honey Baked Ham or turkey to complete your family gatherings. You can call the store at 812-941-9426 or stop by and visit them at 3602 Northgate Court. Again, 3602 Northgate Court in New Albany. Don't forget, you can interact with the show, submit a comment or question, might get read on the air, might get used for one of our guests today. You can follow me on Twitter at Hoosier Hills, all one word, at Hoosier Hills. You can tweet me there. You can follow me there. You can find podcasts of our show and much more there. You can also follow the Hoosier Report's Facebook page. Just type in on Facebook, the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Leave us a message. And again, maybe it'll get read on the air today as a question or a comment on our show. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. And for this game tonight, 9:30 tip-off, pregame at 8:30 here on the Big X, if you want to tune in and listen to Don Fisher, the legendary Don Fisher with the call. Connecticut, 6-2. They have wins over Florida, Buffalo, Miami, Florida. I think those are some of the key victories for this UConn team. They two losses, St. Joseph's and Xavier. And the Xavier game came in double overtime. I mentioned that Connecticut also has already played some neutral court games thanks to their participation in the Charleston Classic, which took place over the Thanksgiving holiday. When you look at this team, normally there's, you know, one or two players on every team that you can talk about, that you mention, that you kind of warn about. Here's names to probably pay attention to and key into tonight. But really, it's a balanced team. They have, let's see here, six players averaging between 9.4 points and 14.8 points per game. There's a senior guard. His name is Christian Vital. He would be the team's leading scorer and for the UConn Huskies. He had 31 points in one of their games and is obviously a key scorer for this team. So a balanced team tonight. Hard to say who steps up for this Connecticut team. They've got a number of players returning from last year as well as some new faces. It's also kind of interesting to remember that UConn, really in college basketball, you could consider them, I don't know about right now, but in recent years, really a powerhouse. They won three national championships from the years of 1999 through 2014. And, of course, now they're under second-year head coach Dan Hurley, who came from Rhode Island to Connecticut to take over that job after Kevin Ollie was let go from that position. So Connecticut and IU tonight at Madison Square Garden. Will it tip off at 9:30? That's the other question I've seen come across. And of course, with there being an earlier game, which is going to be a fun one to watch, I think, as well. You would think 9:30, but it's always possible that it's a little later in these doubleheaders, especially if it's a tight game or, of course, overtime or something like that. But normally 9:30, around that ballpark, the IU game should get underway tonight. Also, 8 years ago today, on this date, I saw this earlier this morning, the NCAA, their March Madness account, actually tweeted it out along with the video. Christian Watford hit the Watt shot to knock off, at that time, number one Kentucky at Assembly Hall, and it's always fun to take a look at that, no question about it. A big win for Indiana, and a shot that really has went down in the lore of IU basketball and some of the big performances at Assembly Hall over the years. Update on Romeo Langford. Sounds like he is progressing nicely with his rehab again. Brad Stevens saying, quote, Romeo Langford had a great workout this morning, did a little bit of our shoot-around, so that was good. Should be clear pretty soon. And that was Coach Stevens talking to the media yesterday. Again, a number of minor injuries with Romeo have kept him out of any opportunity really to contribute with the Celtics. He's been back and forth between the G League team in Maine and Boston, and his last injury was a little more serious. He did come back to Boston to rehab. And, of course, everybody wants to know. The Celtics are coming to Indianapolis tomorrow night to take on the Pacers, and it's a New Albany night promotion with the Indiana Pacers, where a lot of fans have purchased tickets from New Albany. A lot of Romeo fans have purchased tickets. There were some opportunities to buy special tickets where you get in early and get to watch the team shoot around up close and personal. And I know a ton of people took advantage of that. And when it was first announced back a few months ago, it just was really the talk of the town. Everybody wanted to get their seats to New Albany night to support Romeo Langford and watch the Pacers and Celtics game. There's been a lot of concern. What happens? Does Romeo play? Does he make the trip? Does he not make the trip since he's with the G League team some, or because he's recovering from an injury? And I don't think anyone really knows for sure, but I will tell you this much. Some pretty good sources have told me that Romeo Langford will be with Boston tomorrow night in Indianapolis for the trip. Now, whether he will be cleared or not and have any opportunity to play, even if he is cleared, no clue. But I am told he will be with the team tonight, tomorrow night in Indianapolis with the Boston team. So, again, nothing confirmed there, but someone pretty close to the situation, that's what they tell me. Would be nice to see Romeo on a big night with a lot of New Albany fans and Romeo fans there, even if he can't make it in or is not cleared yet to play, just that he can make the trip and go through the shoot-around and know that he's got still obviously a lot of support, as I'm sure he knows, from right here at home. One quick IU women's basketball note. The latest poll out yesterday, they are up to number 12. Indiana women's basketball continues to make some program history so far this season. I've only gotten a chance to watch a couple pieces of some of their recent games, and they are fun to watch, and they do have, I think, some real potential in the Big Ten Conference that are going to be fun to follow and should have a great opportunity, especially with the way that they've done in non-conference play, to be an NCAA tournament team no matter what happens in conference play this year. That's a look at the Zaxby's headlines. Each day, a look at top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Zaxby's is home of the famous hand-breaded, hand-seasoned chicken fingers, fresh salads, and saucy wings, all made to order. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star scheduled to join us, presented by Coffee Crossing, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Tuesday program. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star joins us as always, presented by Coffee Crossing, who would like to invite everyone to their newest location in downtown New Albany, located at 140 East Main Street. It's the fifth Coffee Crossing location for you to enjoy. Greg, welcome in. Big time of year, lots going on. Indiana gets placed in a bowl game. The Hoosiers lose a tough one at Wisconsin that I'm not sure went the way we expected. And then, of course, tonight, Indiana basketball back in action in New York City with a game against UConn, part of the Jimmy B Classic for this 2019 year. I want to start with the bowl game. I was a little bit out of the picture yesterday with a funeral and didn't do the show. Lee Kelly filled in and did not catch the broadcast on Sunday. But with the bowl assignments, there seemed to be maybe some premature announcements. Word got out it was going to be Indiana-Kentucky, and then that didn't work out. It was switched to Indiana-Tennessee. I don't know that I've ever heard of anything like that happening on the day when bowl assignments come out.
Yeah, apparently Tennessee pitched a fit. Tennessee felt like the Gator Bowl should be it to have, and they, you know, obviously you want to play in the Florida Bowl if you can for recruiting purposes. So Tennessee pitched a fit, and the Gator Bowl caved or did what it should do. I'm not sure how that works out. All I know is for IU and Tom Allen, who already loves recruiting Florida, for IU to be in Florida for a week is just, I mean, this season has just been perfect. It's, I mean, short of going 13-0, obviously, and all that, as far as what's achievable, what's realistic, I'm not even sure this is realistic to hope for this, but they got it. All these wins and the Gator Bowl, are you kidding me?
Yeah, no question about it. A big opportunity for Indiana football ahead. And I can't say I follow the SEC and college football as closely as others, but this is a challenge, I think you have to say, for Indiana football. Tennessee not at the top of the conference or anything like that, but a very formidable opponent for an Indiana team that, while they've had some big wins, while they've notched a number of wins this year, I think we talked last week about the combined win total of the teams that Indiana has beaten. This Tennessee game will be different. It'll be a big challenge for IU.
Yeah, and they're playing a team not only with the kind of record that normally they don't beat this year, but they're playing a team that and a program that for years has recruited off the upper end of the recruiting buffet, despite the results not getting, you know, saving Butch Jones' job. They brought in, you know, if you care about stars, four stars, five stars, whatever, they've got their recruiting rankings are higher than IU, so they've got a better athlete for athlete, size for size, all that on paper. Better than IU. Obviously, the games are not played on paper, and IU's coming. But, you know, the gap between Tennessee and IU on the field in terms of recruiting and the level of stars and whatnot, the gap 5-6 years ago would have been just enormous. And I don't know how big it is now. I know it's there, but IU's closing it and playing this game in Florida, short of losing 56-0, and maybe even then, just being in Florida is only going to help them close the gap more.
Yeah, you mentioned something that I really had not thought about. You said spending a week in Florida and how that can help recruiting opportunities for Indiana. This is something that's not just a normal travel down, travel right back, like you see in the regular season when players have to get back for classes, and obviously there's practices and other things going on with the sport as well. This is kind of an opportunity, a lot of these bowl games, where the teams get there plenty in advance. They get multiple practices on the field or at other practice locations near the game. There are lots of oftentimes side events and prep events and even charity events at time, which are awesome, that coincide with some of these bowl games. And then I'm sure there's opportunities for the coaches to get out a little bit in the evenings, possibly while the team has other functions, and meet with recruits and high school coaches and stir up interest in the area. So this is not just a quick turnaround trip. This will be, as you said, kind of like a week deal for this football program and coaching staff and players.
Oh, it'll be a week in the headlines from the Jacksonville paper and the Jacksonville talk radio and TV. It'll be a week of that, but it'll filter throughout the state, not as dramatically as it would have been back in the day. Back in the day, you'd have had all the big papers in Florida would have a writer up in Jacksonville. The Miami Herald would be there and writing stories, and recruits in South Florida would be reading or hearing about. You know, it's changed a little bit. The media, we've shrunk. We don't cover everything we used to cover. We don't have that many bodies anymore. But still, a week in Florida is only going to spread the IU brand more. I mean, that's all it's going to do. It's going to spread the brand through a state where Tom Allen already has planted seeds. This is not, I mean, this is fertile territory. He's not coming into a state where no one really knows this, but maybe this is how we can break in. No, no, no. They're in. Tom Allen is in, and this is just going to kick him in the door deeper.
Yeah, big stuff. I also saw that this is the second or third New Year Bowl or after New Year Bowl for IU football in the history of their opportunities to play in bowl games. And I know that that alone is a big mark, a feather in your cap, you could say, as well.
Yeah, that one's kind of weird. The Gator Bowl has always been a pre-January 1st bowl, at least, in most of my lifetime watching college football. But now with the playoffs and whatnot, they move things around, so now it's January 2nd. But it's still, and I don't mean this meanly, but it's still just the Gator Bowl. The Gator Bowl historically is not a January 1st or after bowl. It happens to be one now. So in the old days, if you're playing January 1st or later, that meant you were in the Rose or the Orange or the Sugar or something like that. Now you're in the Gator Bowl. So I don't want to poo-poo that too much, but yeah, you have to just, that is what that is. Having said that, a week in Florida is, you almost, they say some advertising, you can't put a price on it. The free advertising, and this is free advertising because their bowl expenses are going to get paid for. This free advertising they're getting for a week in Florida is priceless.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, the Indianapolis Star. This segment is presented by Coffee Crossing, their newest location open in downtown New Albany. Let's flip to IU basketball next. Indiana, a terrific win last week at home against Florida State. Everybody was on cloud nine. Everybody very hopeful about this team and what they could accomplish. And I'm not sure that everybody thought Indiana was just going to prance up to Wisconsin in a very tough place in the Kohl Center and come out with a victory for sure. But I think folks thought that Indiana would compete and it would be a reasonably close game. And I think a lot of people did think that Indiana would win the contest. That did not happen. Indiana was down by, I think, as much as 31 or 32 points at one juncture of the game, and not a good outing for Indiana, although their first road game, which is crazy to say, their first road game of any kind in this season at Wisconsin, at a Big Ten school, the way things fell this year for Indiana and their schedule.
The over-under for that game was not win. The over-under was somewhere between compete and win. It wasn't just compete either. IU is not, this is not, Jacksonville State. Go up there and compete. No, you're IU. You don't just compete, but you don't have to win. Something in between, they didn't even compete. They were a low major team on that day. And I really don't think the players were buying into their clippings or anything like that. I don't think it's that. I don't know what it is. I saw the Florida State game. I was there for that. And because I was there for that, I don't want to completely write off Indiana based on this Wisconsin game, just as I shouldn't, pencil them into the Elite Eight because of that Florida State win. They're clearly capable of a lot more than they did. And Wisconsin, the thing about IU, and this has been the case, since Crean, is that they've been one way at Assembly Hall and then another way anywhere else. It's just the way it's gone. And it doesn't mean that matter who the coach is, which I don't know how to put that. It makes sense of that. It's not a, I guess it's a fluke because one guy's program is not somebody else's guy's program. But IU does this. They play a certain way. Assembly Hall is so magical, and the connection is so strong, and such a hard place to play for visiting teams. They look one way at home, and they look a completely different way on the road. And at some point, to take the next step that Archie Miller needs to take in a year or two, they've got to be a team that does what they do at home, and then on the road competes and wins some of these. But to get trucked by Wisconsin, I don't know what their record is, but Wisconsin, I think, was something like 4-4.
They were 4-4 headed into the game.
Wisconsin team.
Yeah, 4-4 headed in to the game Saturday, I believe, 5-4 now.
There have been really good Wisconsin teams. It's never okay if you're IU to be down 30 and lose by 20. That's never okay. But there have been really good Wisconsin teams where you look at it and say, well, they're kind of loaded, and Bo Ryan has that thing going, and they might be in the Final Four. This isn't that team. This Wisconsin team will be lucky to go to the NIT. And when that team trucks you like that, that's a bad look.
Yeah, for sure. Now, Indiana on a neutral site, back on the road again at a big venue in Madison Square Garden for a game tonight with UConn. I think everybody on the edge of their seats, what Indiana team are you going to see? And another road game for this team, although it is a neutral site. Are they going to come out and get embarrassed? I think they're still the favorite, though, according to Vegas, by a narrow margin in this contest.
Yeah, because this isn't the UConn. Just like Wisconsin's not nearly as good as it used to be, neither is UConn. They've fallen off a cliff. They had some cheating and whatnot, and they're not what they were. Now, New York City is UConn's. That's their home territory. I feel like I know over the years they've played a game or so. They'll play a game in New York, almost a home game in New York, just because they know their fan base is really huge there, and they recruit the city. So this will not be neutral. It says neutral. but the selection committee, if IU gets that far in March, will not look at this game as a neutral game. They'll look at it and realize they're a road team.
Greg, I'm curious your thoughts on not just the Big Ten, but college basketball as a whole as we enter the middle part of December. It's been an interesting season. There really doesn't appear to be a powerhouse team like we've seen in recent years. And even in the Big Ten, there have been some surprising scores and some surprising results. Some teams have looked great that maybe we didn't expect to look that good, like Ohio State and Michigan at times, and other teams that maybe we thought would lead the way, some question marks with them. Your thoughts generally on college hoops so far this season?
Well, how about how good the Midwest has looked, and which is kind of all the more galling if you're in this state. We do have a team ranked, Butler. I mean, Butler's been a shock. But IU, Purdue, Notre Dame, not so much. But within driving distance of here, Louisville, number one. Ohio State, you know, probably should be in the top five. Michigan, as you said, with a new coach. Of course, Ohio State and Louisville have new or almost new coaches, too. And the same, you know, Archie Miller or even newer than that, in Louisville's case, and Michigan. So it's kind of shocking how good some of the Midwest teams are, and yet not the traditional heavies. You know, IU and Purdue have been, you know, Purdue recently and IU forever, really good, and this year's not happening. But within driving distance, and that's right there in Indy, Butler's ranked, and they've not played cupcakes. You know, Butler's played a tougher schedule overall probably than Purdue or Indiana, definitely harder than Indiana. And they're still undefeated. They play Baylor tonight, and it's going to be tough, and they're probably going to lose that Baylor tonight. But still, LaValle Jordan is building a program there. It's not a monster, but he's doing it slowly and surely in the right way, and he's building something that I think he can sustain.
Greg Doyle with the Indianapolis Star, this segment presented by Coffee Crossing. All right, a lot of people from down here are headed to Indianapolis tomorrow night. It's New Albany night at the Pacers game because the Boston Celtics are coming to town. And I said in our headline segment today that, according to a good source, Romeo will be there. I don't know that he's going to be cleared to play. I don't know that we'll see anything on the court or if we'll even be in shoot-around, but I've been told he would be there. Take that for what it's worth. This will be my first Pacers game in person of the year, and I really haven't seen him play all that much since very early in the year. What do you expect tomorrow night when Boston comes to town?
Well, and I'll be there to see it myself, whether it's – and I'm really not going for any reason. I'm not going because Romeo's there. I'm not going because of Carson. I'm not going because of Brad Stevens. I'm going because I haven't been to enough Pacers games, and I finally get a chance to go, so I'm going tomorrow night. Having said that, it's a great game to get to go to. I'd be curious. You know, there's no way Romeo plays, and there's just no way, just given how the season's unfolded for him and the injuries and whatnot. I wonder what he – and we'll never know because Romeo doesn't talk about this stuff, but I wonder what's going to be going through his head as he sits there going through what's essentially a redshirt rookie season and this non-triumphant return to, you know, to his home state. I just wonder – is this going to bolster his spirits to be back home and to see people that care about him and I'm sure to get a little bit of love? Will that bolster his spirits? Or will it hurt him because this is not the way this game is supposed to be turning out? You know, only Romeo knows that, and he might not know it until it hits him tomorrow.
Yeah, interesting point, Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. We'll look for you at the game. Greg, always fun to catch up, and look forward to talking with you each week.
Yeah, I'll see you tomorrow night, Matt. See you.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, the Indianapolis Star. This segment brought to you by Coffee Crossing. They'd like to invite everyone to their newest location. It's the fifth Coffee Crossing location. This one is located in downtown New Albany. They turned their own bakery into this new location. It's located at 140 East Main Street. And I just saw this come through from the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame. The Silver Anniversary Team has been announced for this 2020 induction, which happens in the spring. And a local player in Brad Bixler, a name that you might remember that played on some of the great Jeffersonville teams, father also a coach as well, he is on or will be inducted on to the men's Silver Anniversary Team when it is announced in the spring for 2020. Another interesting names, and of course there's a lot, every year when these Silver Anniversary teams are released, you go back and go through the names and you can read their bios and think of some of their great moments in high school basketball or college basketball, whatever it was in our state. But really the other name that has any kind of local tie or notable name on the list outside of Brad Bixler being local is Brad Stevens for his time at Zionsville. But he is going to be on the 2020 men's silver anniversary team that was announced by the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame. So just a little nugget there. Brad Bixler, name of the pass for Jeffersonville. And a lot of those, and I'd have to go back and count this up to be for sure, but a lot of players from some of those great Jeffersonville teams have now been honored on the silver anniversary teams. And it seems like every year we have someone, if not multiple people locally, whether it be boys or girls basketball, that get honored with that. But Brad Bixler, the latest for his time at Jeffersonville. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com joins the show. Mike is in New York City for the big game tonight, Indiana and Connecticut. A 9:30 expected tip, 8:30 pregame with Don Fisher. If you're going to tune in here on the Big X Sports Radio, we'll talk more IU-UConn, some of the matchups, what Mike sees in this game. Probably touch on football again with Mike in the next segment, and perhaps a little recruiting as well, as Mike joins us from New York City after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, presented by CC Power Sports.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Welcome back. Final segment on this Tuesday program. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com joins the show, and Mike is in New York City. He'll be covering the IU-UConn game tonight for his Pegs.com website. We want to talk more about that game, some of the matchups, how Mike sees that game playing out, and also some football and perhaps recruiting as well coming up in this segment. Mike, thanks for being with us. I know you have been traveling and in New York City for the game. Appreciate your time. Connecticut is kind of a hard team to read as far as preparation because they are such a balanced team when you look at the scoring and some of the big contributors that have stepped up for them in some of their different wins so far this season.
Yeah, they have, you know, they just beat Miami of Florida by 25, a team that went to Illinois and won. They've beaten Florida. They had Xavier led the whole game until late, and then the game went to overtime, and they lost in two overtimes to Xavier, which was might have been a ranked team at the time. And they've got talent. These guys on the roster were, you know, highly recruited players. They got a lot of size. They're among the nation's leaders in shot blockers. And defensively, they're pretty tough. So this will be an interesting test for Indiana, which relies a lot on in its inside game and its ability to get fouled there.
Mike, I'm curious your reaction. We've had a lot of chatter the last couple of days, but your reaction to Indiana's performance at Wisconsin on Saturday and how out of sync things seemed after just days before a big victory at home over Florida State, where basically everything seemed to go right for this IU team.
You know, I had a little bit of a feeling that they might lose up there because they haven't won there forever. But they're a young team. They're susceptible to up-and-down performances, all, especially without Robert Finnessy, a point guard. You know, the offense can get out of sync. And I just did not expect them to lose the way they did. I thought, you know, they might lose by 10 or 12 at the worst. But the way they fell behind by over 30 points, that was something that nobody would have expected, you know, so that makes this game more interesting in that respect. Can they bounce back tonight?
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, our guest. Any word on Rob Finnessy, who's been out and has missed a great portion of the season? I know that it was kind of left open-ended about when his return could be and made you wonder if it will be something that happens soon or not. But any word on Rob, any thoughts on Rob and when maybe he could return?
You know, I don't know if he'll play tonight. I was the kind of the way that Archie has answered the question most recently is kind of hinted at a mid-December return. To me, that means either Nebraska this Friday or the Notre Dame game the following weekend. That, you know, maybe the smart money's on Notre Dame, but it's an ankle injury, so it's a little bit more measurable situation than what he's been dealing with before. And it's a non-conference game. Didn't you know, and didn't even play him in a conference game. So I don't know. I would say he probably won't go, but you know, Archie has left it day to day, so who knows.
Talking to Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Back to tonight's game, obviously this is, and Greg Doyle mentioned this in the last segment, this is much more of a home game for UConn than it is IU, with a, although there are a number of IU alumni in the city, I know, but UConn obviously closer, and I know they get there more often for games during the season and recruit that area probably much more regularly and consistently than what Indiana does. But it's a neutral game on paper. What do you see in this game tonight after such a lackluster performance at Wisconsin, where I'm kind of right in step with what you said? I had no problem believing that Indiana may not win that game at Wisconsin despite how good they looked at Florida State last week, but I sure didn't think the result would be what it was by that margin.
Yeah, I think you'll see a little bit of both teams tonight, if I had to guess. You just don't turn it around immediately in a foreign environment normally. So I imagine they'll still have some struggles, especially if Rob is not able to handle the ball or be out in the court. But I think that the effort will be improved. I don't think you'll see Indiana in a shock state. I think they were in a shock situation on their eyes and the way they played in Madison, because they hadn't been there before, hadn't been on the road, and probably thinking that what happened couldn't happen. So they were just in a frozen situation with their heads. And I don't think that'll happen tonight. I think they'll be more competitive, but, you know, UConn matches up well with them. I expect this to be a real back and forth game, and maybe the first IU game that does go down to the wire.
Talking to Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Indiana and UConn, I've been saying that the tip-off is at 9:30, and I guess the reason I'm saying that is because so many of us are and you guys writing that, and we're thinking that. It's actually, on paper, a 9 o'clock tip-off tonight, but we know with the game before, with Louisville playing, much more likely to be much closer to a 9:30 tip or even a few minutes after that tonight. Don't you agree?
Yeah, we basically said, well, it says 9:30, but at 9 o'clock, but it's going to be 9:30 because, you know, a game doesn't get over much earlier than 2 hours, and then there's only 25 minutes or so between games to get everything set up and get the teams out for warm up and all that. So it'll be a late tip, and I'm figuring out how to get back to New Jersey at 2 a.m.
Mike Pegram is with us. Mike, I know you're in New York getting ready for the game, but I do want to talk a little basketball recruiting with you and then get your thoughts on the bowl game on the football side before we let you go. The high school season's underway, and this weekend, if you're looking for a preview of the big players and the great teams in our state this year, the Forum Tip-Off Classic is the place to be, and it's always a great gathering of primarily Indiana talent each year, and this year is no different. A lot of IU targets are going to participate in that event. There are some great head-to-head matchups as well that are going to be very interesting for fans, and I know that you guys will cover it, I'm sure, and a lot of fans will be there as well that want to watch guys with Indiana ties or potential Indiana ties in the future. It is just a super, super day. We're going to talk more about it later as the week goes on, but a super day for high school basketball and IU recruiting coming up on Saturday at Southport.
Yeah, a chance to see those super juniors in the 21 class, and then capped off by an IU signee battle between Anthony Liel and Trey Galloway. So a little bit of everything, and it's nicely grouped for IU people towards the latter half of the event, and Southport's a huge gym, but you want to get there early or buy your tickets ahead of time to make sure you can catch those IU-focused games later.
From an Indiana perspective, as far as recruiting targets go, now that we're a couple weekends into the season, at least in the state of Indiana, some standout performances. Who's looked good? Who have you heard good things about that Indiana is watching very closely within the state?
Well, Trey Coughlin from Silver Creek continued to evolve his game. I think he opened with a couple double-doubles, including a 36-point game in the opener. I went to watch Anthony Liel last week, and he looks really solid, and but Coughlin really made an early statement. I don't think it's a given that he's the number two player in that class. He could possibly push Christian Leander later on for Mr. Basketball and all those awards next year. So that was an interesting opening for him.
MikePegramPeaks.com in New York for tonight's game. Again, a 9 o'clock tip, but we all think it'll be 9:30 before IU basketball tips off with UConn at Madison Square Garden. I want to go back real quick, and then I'm going to hit football. I mean, I've never been to a college game at Madison Square. In fact, I've never been to a game at Madison Square Garden. I have been inside for a tour of it during a trip to the city. But to be in that facility, I know obviously conference tournaments and things like that later in the year are special, but what a unique place to be in for a college game. And that in itself, I think, is probably an experience for this Indiana team.
Yeah, it's in the middle of everything, right next to Penn Station and detached to all these other things. It's in the heart of the city. It's just a cool atmosphere. The arena is really well set up, very circular, hard to find a bad seat in there. And it's just got so much history, you know, so many banners in the background, so many things that you just don't see other places. So it's kind of a hard atmosphere to describe until you're actually there, and so that'll be cool for some of the younger IU players who've never been there.
Mike, I want to get your thoughts on IU football, the bowl game in Florida. Obviously, it's going to be a big challenge, but a big opportunity as well for this IU football program in the Gator Bowl taking on Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee will send a lot of people to Jacksonville, not only because they're close, is because they had a lot of momentum at the end of the season, winning their last five games. People are optimistic and want to follow the team, want to help push it back to where Tennessee football has been in the past. So we've noticed that hotels are booked downtown already. Tickets are going fast. It'll be a completely different kind of bowl atmosphere than Indiana has played, especially that Red Box Bowl where there was hardly anybody in the stands. This is going to be a pretty loud stadium, and I think a lot of Indiana people are very excited about the first IU Bowl in Florida and in the program history, so they'll be traveling well. And these two teams are pretty even. I think, I think the game opened up as a pick 'em in Vegas, so that shows you how close these two teams are, which will make for a great atmosphere. And, you know, I like the January 2nd date. No other games going on at that same time, and later on, helps for the team's practice. And I've been to Jacksonville many times, and you can have a lot of fun there.
Everything about this game, the opponent, the fact that it, as you said, a pick to start, to open, and should be a competitive game, although a challenge, I think, for Indiana. The fact it's in Florida, the fact it's after the new year, the fact that Indiana fans and the attendance in general should be much greater, in part, not just Indiana fans, but obviously the following that Tennessee has as well. Then the recruiting side of it, there's nothing negative about this bowl placement for Indiana football. This is a huge opportunity for the program and a big deal for Coach Allen and his staff in this program moving forward. Some really big dividends could be paid down the road from this opportunity.
Yeah, they have more players from Florida on the roster than even Indiana, so it's a big deal. And then a lot of their top players are from there and, you know, have their families there, and that brings good feelings that get expressed to the younger kids at the high schools those kids come from, and it just kind of builds recruiting momentum you know for the next few years for Tom Allen, who, you know, obviously is from coached in Tampa and his kid went to Tampa High School. So it's just a lot of things positive about playing a bowl where they are.
MikePegramPeaks.com. One final question before we let you enjoy. Hopefully you get to enjoy some of the city before the game tonight with all your coverage forthcoming. But IU women's basketball up to number 12 in the latest Associated Press poll, doing some big things and setting some records, and they are fun to watch.
Yeah, you know, they're better than anybody expected. You know, they've had when the sophomores really step up, and Alan Tapper is a terrific point guard, one of the best in the Big Ten, and they just have a really nice mix of players. Some of the younger players have stepped up at the center and power forward position to kind of fill that one question mark that was there. So it's just they're going to be a really fun team to watch, and they've beaten some really good teams already and really deserve ranking and might soon be in the top 10 and be a real contender for the Big Ten title.
MikePegramPeaks.com. Mike, again, thanks for the chat. Appreciate you joining us out of town, and enjoy your time there. We'll talk with you next week.
All right, Matt. Take care.
It's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. It's presented by CC Power Sports. Don't forget that yesterday, Lee Kelly, who was filling in for me, made the announcement that Tucker Bivin of New Albany, a sophomore, was named the Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week, presented by Sir Dano's Pizza in Sellersburg. Big 32-point performance, a career high, and a big, big effort for him. Great start to the year, all the way going back to the scrimmage at Heritage Hills. Had a solid game against Bloomington South, but a huge game against Evansville Harrison for the sophomore on Saturday night. He's a University of Louisville baseball commit, got all sorts of opportunities, I think, in the future with baseball. But basketball, obviously something that he's can star at as well. And he's had a big start to the season for New Albany. So he is our Athlete of the Week here this week, following up Trey Kaufman, who was the winner a week ago in the big performance that he had for Silver Creek. Also, a reminder that the Southern Indiana High School tip-off show Thursday night, it airs again on Fridays before our play-by-play coverage of high school basketball. We're getting ready for a big week of games, New Albany and Floyd Central. That's what we're going to open with. We're going to talk with Tucker Bivin in the tip-off show this week. We'll also hear from New Albany coach Jim Shannon, Floyd Central coach Todd Sturgeon. This week also scheduled to join us, Silver Creek coach Brandon Hoffman. We got to talk with him because the Dragons take on North Harrison Friday, which is a big Mid-Southern Conference game, and then they go to take on Fort Wayne Blackhawk at Southport, the Form Tip-Off Classic that I was just talking about with Mike Pegram earlier in this segment. That obviously is a big matchup of Silver Creek against Caleb First and his Blackhawk team. Caleb, one of the great players in the state of Indiana right now as well, that also has some Indiana interest. And then later in the tip-off show, we'll talk with Brian McEwen of Clarksville, the Generals. They take on Charlestown this weekend as well. And so we'll catch up with Coach McEwen on what's going on with Clarksville basketball, off to a pretty decent start this year. That's the Southern Indiana Tip-Off Show, presented by Frank H. Monroe Heating and Cooling. It airs Thursday. It also airs Friday. You can hear from lots of coaches, lots of guests, once again, with our feature game being New Albany and Floyd Central, a great rivalry game. I'll be back with you Wednesday. We have Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, so we have a full recap of IU and UConn coming tomorrow on the show. Also, Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune, he will sit down with us in studio as well as we preview what's ahead this week in high school basketball and more. Don't forget IU tonight. I think pregame, I had said 8:30. I think maybe it's I had said an 8 o'clock pregame, I believe, because the tip-off, again, technically scheduled for 9, although I think we all know it's probably going to be 9:30 or even a few ticks after 9:30. Have a great Tuesday. Back with you Wednesday. This is the Hoosier Report, presented by CC Power Sports.